Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
Fourth quarter of the program begins right now.
We begin with Todd Lebo. Todd Lebo on the scene in Lawrence, Kansas for a great, great special and a great one coming up tomorrow at Mr. Brew's Tap House. Todd's at 3140 Iowa Street in Lawrence, but the specials are good at 8021 Metcalf in downtown OP as well. Todd, how much have you already eaten?
I ate the wings. Awesome. I had wings, so I'm giving people a little grade here before tomorrow when you get the 79-cent wing special. A+. I got the Nashville hot. They're not too saucy, so you're not too messy when you eat them. Super awesome, tasty. Couldn't recommend more highly. So now we'll see how the Nashville hot runs through the body. But I love the spicy food. So it was beautiful at Mr. Brew's. Beautiful.
And the special for today is the burgers, right?
Yeah, burger, fries, and a drink, just $10.99 while we're here. I'll be here until 6 o'clock. So if you're heading out for dinner, swing on by 3140 Iowa in Lawrence. That's where we are, but you can also go, as you said, on Metcalf and get the same special. The wings tomorrow, 79 cents from 4 to close. That's awesome. There'll be a lot of people out here watching KU in Kentucky in the basketball game tomorrow night. And then wings all day, both locations, 79-cent wings on Sunday. You're going to want to get there early, get yourself a good seat to watch the Chiefs. If you're not lucky enough to be going out to the game, go to Mr. Brew's Tap House in either one of these spots in Lawrence or in Overland Park and get yourself these wings. Like I said, A+.
All right,
super,
Todd.
Super tasty.
All right, so what is your prediction on the game?
My official prediction, I can't remember my exact score this morning, but I think I said like 34-17. The Bengals have kicked, I think, 7 field goals in the postseason. I think Zach Taylor knows field goals ain't going to work. So I think they'll probably fail on a couple fourth downs. So we're not going to see a wacky score with like 4 field goals and a touchdown. I think they'll probably kick a field goal early, score 2. The Chiefs are not going to be denied in this game. And I think it can honestly get out of hand if the Chiefs are like +2 in turnovers. You've been talking about this all week, sir. And how does this guy get sacked 9 times and not turn the ball over? There's a turnover coming for Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I mean, to me.
Or 2.
Yeah, to me, it's just like they've been living on borrowed time. You just cannot have your quarterback knocked around like that and not have him turn the ball over. I don't see how, it's remarkable. It's a credit to him. He's obviously a tremendous talent. He's going to be around for a long time. But I also think the fact that he's a sitting duck and their O-line isn't very good allows the Chiefs defense to play a lot better than maybe it could against some other teams. I expect them to get the pressure on him. And actually, I think the Chiefs, this is going to be one of those, maybe the Bengals go down and get a score and the Chiefs figure out what they did and then they hunker down on defense. But I expect wire to wire with the Chiefs controlling the last three quarters of the game.
Yeah, unless the Chiefs turn the ball over a bunch, and they haven't proven that they're going to do that recently either. They had a couple turnovers against the Steelers. I think they were kind of whatever against the Steelers. They were precision-like against the Bills. You will not mistake Joe Burrow for Josh Allen running the ball. This guy is hobbled. I remember at the end of the Bengals-Chiefs game, he couldn't even kneel the clock out because his knee got tricked up on a couple of sneaks. So if he gets hit, I don't know. I'm not calling for this. He may not finish this game. I don't know.
Todd, I want you to listen to this cut from Andy Reid. This is from today's press conference and get your reaction to how he answered it. I asked Coach Reid if the fact that teams are going for it more on fourth down. We saw the Bengals be aggressive in that game. We saw the Bills be aggressive, the Chargers. See everybody, the Ravens really kind of got it started even a couple of years ago. Everybody being more aggressive on fourth down against them, does that make him consider or force him even to go for it more on fourth down himself?
Well, we've done that the last few years. Just going forward, we feel like at the right time. I mean, it's a subjective decision on my part to do that, and I'll take each one individually and just see kind of where we're at. So, we don't mind doing it, but there's a time and a place. We feel we need to do that.
Still pretty conservative.
Sounds like no to me.
Yeah.
It's pretty conservative. Many of these coaches just absolutely have an analytical chart that says you're going. And I'll promise you there have been times the last couple of years where the chart says go and Andy Reid doesn't. But I don't think there's many times where the chart says don't and he does, if you get my point. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yes, but I think that's true of almost all coaches. And
except maybe for Brandon Staley. Because
he goes for
just
it
every time.
Well, I think most of the – if you go by the straight analytics, then none of them are close. I mean, the first time you should go for fourth and one is at your own 10.
Right, yeah. If you know, I follow the fourth down decision bot or whatever thing is.
Yeah.
And if it's a .01 win percentage or whatever, I guess, you know, I like to see the ones that say strong.
Right.
At least medium before I'm like, what are you doing? Because there were two possessions in the Bills game where I thought both coaches were a little conservative in the fourth quarter.
I don't really care what he says to us as long as he does the right thing. And I think if you do find yourself in a shootout or a dogfight or a rock fight, any kind of tight, close game, and then I think he's got to be prepared to leave his best unit on the field. The money side of the ball is the offense. And better to win with them failing going forward on fourth down than just watching you be bled to death on defense. And that's kind of where I was going at with him, hoping he would admit that, yeah, we got to be more aggressive. But he didn't want to go there.
You know, we watched Zach Taylor do that. Zach Taylor did not want to give even 13 seconds back to the Chiefs.
Right.
And so that's why they went for all the fourth downs at the end of the game. And that's why they won the game, because they got the call mm-hmm. and the penalties or whatever. And they kicked the ball through the uprights with no time on the clock. And that's
right.
How you win the game against the Chiefs.
All right, Todd Lebo, 3140 Iowa Street at Mr. Brew's Tap House, $10.99 for any burger, fries, and a drink during the remote. So you got till 6 o'clock to take advantage of that. Then 79-cent wings Saturday from 4 to close, and 79-cent wings all day Sunday. That's at both 3140 Iowa Street in Lawrence and 8021 Metcalf in downtown OP. Todd, thank you. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys, if you like it hot, get that Nashville hot. Awesome.
Yeah.
Very good.
Good to hear. Good to hear. Kevin Harlan coming up next.
The program with Soren Petro.
Gosh, I was such a reject in school. If only someone could have just stuffed food down the front of my pants, and I felt so much more important.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Kevin Harlan is presented by Metcalf CarStar. If your vehicle gets sacked on the road, take it to Metcalf CarStar, the collision repair experts. They make it convenient and easy to get back on the road. Go to CarStar.com and search Metcalf CarStar. CarStar, relax. They'll take it from here.
He calls the NBA.
Game! Series!
The NFL.
He digs, he turns, he dives! It is a touchdown!
March Madness.
And that is the dagger.
And even this.
He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. The guy is drunk.
I'm getting confused. What game are you calling?
I'm calling both games.
I'm going to draw Kevin Guy.
Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
He's the voice of America, Kevin Harlan.
Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we finish strong here in the 5 o'clock hour. The great Kevin Harlan is how we like to finish our week. A week without Kevin Harlan is just a week I don't want to live with. Kevin, how are you, my friend?
Oh, my goodness. Wow, what a way to come on. I like that. let me just tell you something. A week without the NFL is going to be weird next week, right? When we got
right.
the bye before the Super Bowl. It's going to be odd, especially in the wake of what we saw last week, which was the greatest weekend of playoff football the league has ever known. And we may be in store for two more games like that come Sunday.
Yeah, and you agree that's where a lot of people are landing, that this was the greatest playoff weekend ever?
No doubt. I mean, if you wrote a script and had the four endings of those four games and gave them to a Hollywood producer, goes, this is going to happen. What are you talking about? It's so unlikely. But it just shows you the competitive balance in the league and how these teams engineer themselves to face opponents and take advantage of what they can take advantage and try to shore up their own deficiencies, and they meet in the middle. And you get games like we saw. And listen, we saw, you know, Tom Brady come back from 27-3 down with about the same amount of time that he faced in the Super Bowl to come back and beat Atlanta that he did against the L.A. Rams, but couldn't pull it off at the end. And then we saw those remarkable three other games that whether they had weather or whether they had you know, great kicking or a combination of all of it. It just proved to be one of those weekends I don't think anyone will ever forget.
Did you call the final game for Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau Field, in your opinion?
I don't think I did. I would say that I think he's coming back to play, and I think he is going to play for Green Bay. Green Bay is still, of the 14 teams that were in there, I still felt Green Bay was probably the best. Chiefs were probably very, very close. But Green Bay, I thought, was probably the best. And they for whatever reason, could not get unhitched, and they had their problems. And Rodgers was not spectacular. He was decent, but he was not great. And you need quarterbacks to be great in these big games. But I think that he and the front office began to see eye to eye early in the season, and that was a non-issue. Now, whether he has, you know, and he's not going to go to a better team. Green Bay is the best team he can play for. I don't know where he thinks he'll, even with their cap issues, and they'll rectify those. There's no other place that will be a better team or an entree into a Super Bowl chance for next year. Now, whether he wants to be closer to his fiance who lives in Colorado, whether he wants to be on the West Coast where he can, you know, begin to work more diligently at the things he wants to do following his career, you know, that we don't know. But right now, you know, if he wants to play football and play winning football and go to another Super Bowl and, you know, continue to build upon the legend, Green Bay is the place to be. So I think, and no inside info, he'll sign a 2-year extension. He'll play past 40. They'll keep the team basically intact, and he'll stay with the Packers.
The Nathaniel Hackett move to the Broncos didn't sway you?
Well, I knew I've got some my brother is the agent for the new GM with the Broncos. So I knew a lot was going on, and actually I was called by someone during the process to ask my opinion of Nathaniel Hackett. I've had that happen a couple times in my career because with the networks, we get a chance to talk with a lot of the coordinators, mm-hmm. a lot of the coaches. And so they, teams that were calling were trying to find out, you know, just, you know, away from football and dealing with the media and what were your thoughts on him. So I knew he was close. You know, he comes from great bloodlines. His dad was a revered offensive mind. We know that in Kansas City when he came with Montana. So, Nate is a quality coach. He's not a serious guy. He's a little bit quirky, but a great mind. And his dad was kind of like that, though. His dad had a great personality, and I think Denver got the right guy. And is there a connection with maybe him going out there and bringing Rodgers with him? Perhaps. I mean, you know, anything can happen. I just think if, you know, and I think Denver is built, you know, their offensive weaponry is, you know, in some people's minds, second to none. But I just, at the end of the day, I'm thinking, why would you leave Green Bay and go to a team that probably is not as good as Green Bay in Denver? But maybe he will. There are things that are more important to him right now, like being closer to the woman he wants to spend the rest of his life with and do all those things. And I get all that too. So time will tell. He said before free agency gets underway, a decision will be made. I can't believe, Saran, that Rodgers would retire. I just think he's playing so well. He is the presumptive MVP, and I think he's got some good football left. I just can't, for the life of me, see him giving up now when he has the team intact, a Super Bowl-ready team, young weapons, two-headed monster at running back, defensive playmakers, a staff that he likes, a system that he thrives in, and a place that he's called home since his first time in the NFL. And I would just think at the end of the day that's what my mind tells me, and that's what I'm thinking is going to happen. But I've been wrong more times than not. I'm probably wrong in this, but right now that's what I would say.
There's certainly a mutual respect there between he and Devontae Adams. He's, you know, said nice things. Devontae Adams has said nice things. A lot of people have that being the package deal. You sign Devontae Adams down in Denver as a free agent, and that makes him, you know, Aaron Rodgers want to go there, and he gives a Denver or I retire ultimatum as I think the dream scenario for Bronco fans. Here's what I'm curious about. Does Aaron Rodgers get close to anybody? Like, is there anybody that's really, you know, from a coaching and front office standpoint, is there anybody that really knows Aaron Rodgers well, or is he kind of aloof?
No, I think he does get close to people. I think he thrives on interpersonal relationships. I just don't know if a lot of players talk about him. I mean, do we know that Mahomes is, you know, close to a lot of his teammates? That, you know what I mean? Outwardly, yeah, him and Kelsey and him and a couple linemen. I mean, yeah, I mean, I think Rodgers is very much the same way. Him and they're all pro left tackle Bakhtiari are very close. He and Randall Cobb were very close. I think at one time he and Mike McCarthy were very close. So, yeah, you know, I think, you know, and I don't know that he likes a lot of his personal life out there. And players sometimes don't talk about, you know, how buddy-buddy they are with people. Sometimes they talk about quarterbacks taking out linemen. I think he's probably done that. Getting them gifts, I think he's probably done that. But yeah, no, I think he is. I think that in this world, and no one knows media more than you, you get that hot headline or sentence or a couple words, and the media grabs onto it, and then they make their own interpretation. And they have no more insight into those words and to interpret than this tree that I'm driving past right now here on the side of the road. They don't know. So, you know what, Saran, trying to read players is a fool's errand. Trying to read, sometimes your wife is hard, you know, right? And you're with them 24/7. So if I'm going to try to read Aaron Rodgers, I must be a dummy because I don't know him. I don't know if anybody really knows him. His teammates know him. I think he's close to a lot of his teammates. So in that regard, I would say, yeah, I think he is close to some people. And I think he's probably a lot friendlier and kinder and nicer than a lot of people think. And I think a lot of people that may come across publicly kind and nice and with it are not. I think the exact opposite is true. If a guy is there smiling and trying to be Mr. Goody Goody and you know the real story and you know behind the curtain what's going on, I see that all the time. So listen, I gave up trying to read people a long time ago, but I think I can say it's pretty, you know, a pretty certain thought that I think he has the same kind of relationships we all have with friends that just may not talk about, be as numerous as maybe some of us have. I don't know. You know.
We're talking to Kevin Harlan here in the program.
That's Dr. Kevin Harlan.
Dr. Harlan, that's right, Dr. Harlan.
Psychological ways and in cold fusion.
And I hope everybody understands it's listening right now. It is $450 an hour, so you'll get a bill for about $225 for the psychoanalysis here from one Kevin Harlan. So what do you think? You saw the Niners win. Did they just get by because it was so cold that you couldn't really have any, which is great. It's all you have to do. They've beaten the Rams twice, and I know for a lot of people that means that they're going to beat them again. They've won six in a row against the Rams, I think it is. For other people, it means the Rams are due, and the Rams are going to win. You know, what do you think of this Niner team that moves on?
I think that they're resilient and resourceful, and I think they come up with a terrific game plan, and they don't blink. Opportunistic defense, stronger than most people give it credit for. A quarterback, if you put a silhouette of five quarterbacks and put the starting record of those five, and you were told that these five quarterbacks are all starting quarterbacks in the NFL, you would never in a million years put Garoppolo's starting record with that silhouette. You would never in a million years guess what it is. It's stunning. It's so good. He wins. He's not as gifted as Rodgers or as Patrick. He doesn't have a flair, but he has been a winning quarterback. He's taken his team to a Super Bowl. He just about beat the Chiefs through 3.5 quarters two Super Bowls ago. The guy wins. but he's not going to wow you with his numbers. And but he does find a way, and he came up in that Green Bay game with that frigid temperature and the snow blowing around Lambeau with some pretty significant pass completions, and they got him where they needed to get to score and win. So I think every game is different in the playoffs. Some teams you're going to pass well against, and some you're going to run well against. Some teams you got to rely on all three phases, and in that particular game, it was the defense of the Niners and the special teams, clearly, that got them that win. But listen, they've won in two incredibly difficult scenarios against the Cowboys, who people were all talking about going into that first week. And that place, that stadium, in that wild card weekend against San Francisco was going bananas. And the Niners held on and won. Then they go to Green Bay, completely different atmosphere because of the freezing temperatures and the snow and the wind, and they win there. Green Bay was the best team in the NFC and maybe the best team overall in the playoffs. So I have the utmost respect for what they've done. And then on top of that, they've beaten the Rams, what, six straight times, twice this year, and once in the building they're going to play at Sunday night. So, you know, who's anybody to say that they're not going to play well and have a chance? They definitely have a chance. We've seen teams, Pittsburgh and the Giants, over the last 10, 15 years, come in as a wild card team and come in with a record, a regular season that wasn't all that spectacular, and find themselves as winners, and then teams in the Super Bowl. So I think a lot of things can happen. And I think it's, like I said, I think it's going to be a thrilling weekend, and I don't think that Niner-Ram game will disappoint.
What did you think? We're talking to the great Kevin Harlan here in the program. What did you think of the ending of the Chiefs-Bills game? What did you think of the game as a whole? You've seen a lot of games. It's in the discussion. I think everybody agrees it's certainly a game that warrants being discussed as one of the greatest ever. Is it the greatest ever? And what did you think of the ending?
Well, it's amongst the greatest ever. There have been some great games. I don't know how you top it, to be quite honest. But time and history will feed us a good answer on that. But you'd have to rank it as certainly one of the top five all-time playoff games. And there have been some doozies. And there's one in particular that's been played in Kansas City that would be in the top five. Longest game ever. So, here's the thing that, and this is just me talking, but processing what you're seeing and what we all saw Sunday night, you know, sometimes you hope that you're processing it the right way. Like you're really taking in every twist and turn that you're witnessing, because sometimes this can't be happening. Like how in the world is he moving the team that far in such a short amount of time and coming up with the result that he's coming up with? How is, you know, like it's just almost unfathomable that they did what they did. Listen, that was the number one, and it's been number one most of the season, and no worse than fourth in the NFL all season long. And that Buffalo defense let that Chiefs offense and that quarterback go right through them. And I don't know if anybody could have predicted that. Even as great as Mahomes is, even as good as Kelce and Hill are, I mean, you'd have to be really out on a limb to say that they were going to do that. So it made it almost, you know, surreal that they were pulling it off against the number one defense all season long, and then doing it with the time constraints and the gravity with which they were moving it. So, it was, but you just hope, right? I think as the reporters were up there watching it in the press box and the broadcasters were talking about, you just hope you're processing everything the right way. Kind of the way it was in that New England game. You were processing what you were seeing. Kind of the way that Brady came back from 27-3 down, not only in the playoff game against the Rams last week, but in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Happening so fast and stair-step that you just hope that you're really taking it all in, processing it the right way so that it comes out, you filter it the right way, and that you appreciate what you're seeing, because I don't know if any of us as fans will ever see anything like that again. That was remarkable, unbelievable, and I just surreal in almost every angle.
Is that the game they've been tested and now they're going to, you know, blow by everybody the rest of the way? Or is that a team that had so much taken out of it getting by the Bills you think could come flat this week?
Well, the two teams that I think are peaking at the right time are truly the Chiefs and the Rams. I think they're really – there's a lot of similarity there. That would make, by the way, for a tremendous Super Bowl. I just think it would make for an incredibly entertaining Super Bowl. But they're playing right now at the very top of their game, and it's hard to believe, thinking what we were saying and thinking after the first 7 weeks of the season, thinking the team had lost it, no edge, up to what we expected, higher expectations probably because of two straight Super Bowls, and I think they've exceeded it. I think they're playing as well now going into this game as they have the previous 3 years, maybe the best. I think right now they are playing at such an incredibly high level. The quarterback has probably never had the confidence he's had. The line is coming together, like every aspect. Maybe the defense isn't quite as dramatic as they had been during that long regular season winning streak we saw that got them out of the depths of a 3-4 start. Depths, only a game below 500. But after that rugged start to what they finished at, what we're seeing now is a team that has been perfectly prepared to peak. This is by design. I know this is just sheer luck, but they are peaking, and it is a beautiful thing to watch.
What about the Bengals? You know, in Kansas City, and I think nationally, everybody's view of the Bengals is the team that beat the Chiefs, right? That's what they know them as, and then has won a couple of playoff games, albeit collectively by one score in each, 10 points total. They won the two games. You know, people don't talk about the fact that they lost to the Bears 20-17. They lost to the Jets 34-31. You know, they lost twice to the Cleveland Browns this year. You know, we've seen the best of the Bengals. That beat the Chiefs. You saw him. I know you and Trent had him at least once, if not a couple of times this year. Did you have him on one of those losses? And what do they look like when they're not at their best?
Yeah, we had him four times, and we did have him against the Jets in New York. So, yeah, we saw it, and we were stunned. We opened up that broadcast, and I had asked the obvious questions to Trent as we had our 3 minute open. And then I finished off by asking Trent, all right, Trent, let's step back here and widen the lens. Tell me about the Bengals. What's in front of them today against the lowly Jets? First thing he says is they can't play down to their opposition. They can't, you know, come in here exhaling and thinking they're just going to roll over this team because the NFL isn't built like that. Sure enough, they got a kid making his first ever NFL start with Mike White, who threw for over 400 yards and torched them. But that was a lesson learned, and they learned it well. If you recall, Saran, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the 14 teams in the playoffs to start the thing off. And I said, my dark horse is Cincinnati. And I said it because I had seen them so often. And I knew what Burrow meant to their team and the level he was playing at. The three elite wide receivers, a good and developing emerging pass-catching tight end, the 1,000-yard running back in Mixon, and the defense has spent over $260 million on signings over the last 2 years to turn the defense around. And the Bengals really had been their defense. Now the offense has caught up. And quite honestly, with all respect to Buffalo, due respect to the teams they've played already, this will be the most dangerous opponent they have played. And not because the Bengals beat them in Cincy earlier, but just because the Bengals are playing, I think they feel they're well ahead of schedule. They're kind of like the Chiefs were in that first Super Bowl run or in that first run to the AFC Championship game and the loss to New England, but kind of like that Chiefs team then. Like, they're wide-eyed, they've got such bravado, such confidence, but they've not proven anything. The depth of their you know, resume had not been really patented yet and stamped. And that's kind of where the Bengals are. They're like a young Chiefs team was, and going into that Brady-led Patriot AFC Championship game at Arrowhead. That's kind of what they're like. Maybe the year after, but make no mistake about it. I think they'll play at their very best, and their quarterback, that Bengals team believes in Burrow as much as the Chiefs believe in Mahomes. And those two quarterbacks and those two teams may believe in their quarterback more than any other teams in the NFL do in their signal call. That's the kind of comparison I would draw to the Bengals and what the Chiefs are going to face this weekend, and who the Chiefs could probably look at and say, yeah, we remember when we were in that, you know, stair step stage, taking one step after another, maybe surprising ourselves with the win, maybe even stunned that we made the championship game. I think the Bengals in the back of their minds are a little surprised, like the Chiefs were when they went in that first championship game against Brady at Arrowhead. And so I think there's a real correlation between the thought process of those two different scenarios.
Is there a real correlation between Michael Jordan and Patrick Mahomes? Because he's the only guy that seems to be able to take a team sport, a true team sport. Baseball is a team sport, but it's really kind of an individual matchup with the team standing around watching most of the time, to be honest with you. Nothing against baseball. It just isn't the same kind of teamwork that the other football, basketball, soccer, you know, hockey, that those teams are, those sports are. You know, he just seems to have a will to win and refuses to lose. Is that you called Michael Jordan's games? I mean, is there a comp there, or am I caught up in the moment of the greatness that I saw this past weekend?
No, they're wired. There's all those kind of guys: Kobe, Michael, Brady, Mahomes. I think Burrow is if you look at him, and now he's just in the beginning of this, but what he did at LSU and what he's done in less than 2 years at Cincinnati, that's stunning. There are a few guys that have that kind of wiring. Mentally, the difference between Mahomes and Jordan, I would say, is that Jordan berated his teammates to the point of, you know, like they were really, they were cower sometimes because Jordan was so overpowering and demanded so much and berated them verbally and physically. And basketball may lend itself to that kind of culture because of the games and the smack, I mean, all of it, right? But and Mahomes doesn't come off to me as he comes to off to me as the ultimate teammate, the ultimate leader, but demanding as well. And quarterbacks have got to be demanding. So in that regard, he and Jordan were alike. Listen, we know his arm is like generationally good. We know that what he's done at this stage of his career has been accomplished by very few quarterbacks ever, with the numbers that go along with the performance and the results. So, like, he is like writing a whole new chapter to this position. And another, another part of that book is going to be written this weekend, because if he goes to three consecutive Super Bowls and pulls off the kind of performance he has during the winning streak and into these playoffs, I mean, we're going to look back when this season is over and just shake our heads and say, you know, we thought we had seen, you know, the top. We thought we had seen the ultimate performance by this guy, and yet here he comes with more. Don't minimize, I know you don't, but our listeners, don't minimize how embarrassed this organization was. And they've led on to it in different quotes throughout the season, how embarrassed they were at the way they played in that Super Bowl a year ago. And I don't know if they have the chip on the shoulder going from winning in Miami to the next Super Bowl last year in Tampa. They've got a chip that is the difference with this team this season. They've got a chip and a motivation and an embarrassment card that they're playing. And now that they have revived their season and used that maybe as the motivating factor, it will never be as prominent as it will this weekend and maybe in 2 weeks in Los Angeles. And that is the difference with this team and last year's team, because whether you're young and you think every year we're going to a Super Bowl, gosh, this is easy. We made it 2 years in a row. I think they saw, you know, and it hit them right in the, between the eyes, how hard it is to play at that level and win. And that was a lesson learned. And I think that's the one difference with this team, is they've got a chip on their shoulder that perhaps they didn't have last year, because maybe in the back of their minds, they thought it was pretty easy to get there again, as they had done the previous year, winning in Miami against San Francisco.
We're talking to Kevin Harlan here in the program. Time for our Final Four, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, let the same experts that care for the Kansas City Chiefs take care of you. You can learn more right now at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. Kevin, I will start you with this. Should the next Chiefs stadium be a dome?
I don't know, Saran, that it should be. I first of all, I never, in my lifetime, I hope I never see them leave Arrowhead. It looks brand new. It's so functional. The history in that building is immense. And I don't know. Now, there may be financially, economically, something to be said about getting Final Fours, national championship games in college football, you know, all those things. And I get it. I understand all that. But otherwise, I love it outdoors. The field's in great shape. And so much has been written in that stadium. I hope for as long as you and I are breathing, that Arrowhead is Arrowhead and the team is playing on that field.
Okay. What is the best town to host a Super Bowl?
The best town is probably New Orleans. We're getting Vegas coming up, and that's going to be really interesting. Great stadium, too, there. New Orleans is hosted the most. Miami, I thought, was good. The weather was crummy Friday and Saturday. It was okay, but cold on Sunday, and then worked out really nice on Monday 2 years ago. So we didn't see the best of Miami. When Miami's got good weather, that's a hard venue to beat. Los Angeles, I know I'm going out there this weekend with Kurt Warner for our broadcast, the Rams and Niners, and it's going to be 72 and sunny, and that's where the Super Bowl will be in 2 weeks. There's a lot to do in L.A., but the traffic and how much the city is spread out makes it kind of cumbersome. New Orleans is so concentrated with so many great restaurants and things to do, places to go, built for tourism, that, you know, that's what you want. When you go to these Super Bowls, you want to enjoy yourself. And the Superdome, they put a lot of money into it. I'll say New Orleans.
Okay, okay. Tell me, where's Jimmy G next year?
I think this is going to be one of the more interesting stories, because he's a winner. And he can go to a Pittsburgh or someplace like that and just pick up right where they left off this season. And they built momentum, the Steelers did, as they snuck into the playoffs. So I could see him going to a team that is ready again to make another run. I think he's got a lot of football left. Problem is, they got this other guy who they drafted very high, and they traded a bunch to move up to draft him, Trey Lance, who is very promising. I think he's going to have a wonderful career, but it's come at the expense of Garoppolo. But let me just say this. Garoppolo has shown such class and such resolve in the face of this, knowing that he's not the long-term guy. He'd love to be, but he's not the long-term guy. And he's been kind of in this limbo, this in-between place all season, lame duck year. And he's handled it with grace and class. And I've always thought a lot of them, and I think a lot more of them now, the way he's handled this season. And then his performance says it all. So where he ends up, I'll just say a contending team. And Pittsburgh, to me, feels like a good fit.
Yeah, I did too. I've heard that a couple of times now. All right. And then when traveling to L.A., your favorite L.A. airport is what?
Favorite L.A. airport is probably LAX, just because there are more options there. But people like going into Palm Springs, John Wayne, in Orange County is nice. So I would say I'll stick with LAX, just because you can you can get any place, I think, in the world from there, and they have a lot of options back home.
And
what I'm always trying to get is back home.
Back home, exactly. Yeah, what I love about LAX is that it's perpetually under construction. I mean, I just, you know, the fact that...
Isn't it weird? I mean, like, now Delta bought the first two terminals. They're going to connect them, and I think they're ahead of schedule because the pandemic meant less travelers, more time to construct. And Delta is building a huge, you know, massive terminal out there, and it's going to be unbelievable. If you've been to LaGuardia, if you've seen what they've done in some of their other JFK, it'll be first class. But you're right. It's so big. It's like JFK. JFK is constantly under construction or renovation, and that probably is never going to stop. But when LAX is finished, and it will be, O'Hare is going through it right now. They're going through a massive rebuild, reconstruction. But LAX, when it's done, it's going to be, it'll resemble the city where it is with all the glitz and glamour that you'd expect flying into Los Angeles.
I just hope they get it done in my children's lifetime. That's all I can ask.
Yes, they will. They're going to do it in our lifetime. It'll be done. I'm predicting it'll be done in 5 years.
I hope you're right. Kevin, you're the
man. Listen, I just want our airport to be great. I want our Kansas City airport to be great. So I don't care about these other ones. Make Kansas City's great. And then I don't care. Well, I could fly into a tent. I don't care. Just make our hometown airport good. Great. And it's what I hear. It's going to be terrific.
I'm hoping so. That's for sure. Always terrific talking to you, Kevin. Thanks so much. Have yourself a great weekend.
Thank you, Saran. You take care. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
But first, the good sense end of the hour answer. Two quarterbacks have led the league in touchdown passes in the season in which they made their first NFL start. Ooh. I asked for either one. You got one pretty quickly. Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner came right to mind. First, I was like, oh, that's got to be Mahomes. But no, he started the one the year before. Mm-hmm. But Kurt Warner would be one. Mm-hmm. The other one I'm struggling on.
They actually did it in back-to-back seasons, 2000?
No, I was going to say 98 or 2000. Still doesn't help. Give me another clue.
Florida College, but not a Power 5 school.
Central Florida. Dante Culpepper.
Dante Culpepper.
Nailed it.
45 years old today. On his way, I thought, to a Hall of Fame career until he blew out his knee and was just never the same guy after that 04 season.
He was like kind of never the same guy when Randy Moss left.
Yeah, that didn't help.
That was a big part of the equation there for him. Playing for a little Good Sense, goodsensesubs.com. You can grab it right now. You can order online. Remember, 30% more meat on the sandwich. And, of course, you can order with the app as well. I can order on the app for the whole family because I got the family's order saved in there. And about 30 seconds plus the loyalty club giving you 10% back. It's the best loyalty club in town. It's from your hometown. Good Sense. Get it online at goodsensesubs.com. Chiefs are going to lay the beat down. Did I get your score? You haven't given a score. You gave the score on the video prediction. What was your score, Curtis?
34-17. I think the game's going to look a lot like the first half of that Bengals game in Cincy and not the second half.
So you're just a Tyshir kiss ass, basically.
Could be.
Yeah. Yeah. Or was it Lebo? Lebo went 34-17.
Is that what it was? Yeah. I'll kiss anyone's ass if I think it'll help.
Hey, enjoy the journey, even if it doesn't go the Chiefs' way, and I think it is. I've got 37-20 for my prediction. Enjoy the journey. It's a fantastic run. We are watching absolute brilliance go on right now, and you want to savor it. Enjoy a great weekend of sports Kansas City. We're back on Monday at 2:00.